Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunson, and we're here tonight live, can you imagine, on Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're actually broadcasting around the entire globe. Mummy wasn't even able to do that with her shortwave set back in the 1920s. We are broadcasting to you live with Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are part of the, and we're a lucky part, and we're a privileged and proud part of the Here Be Monsters studio, which was put together by our wonderful producer-atrix and muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who, stand by, ladies and gentlemen, is on the air with us tonight, as she is every week. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight? Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, hello? Are we still on the air? Oh, dear. Are we having technical difficulties already? Well, I'm going to keep on going until I hear differently. Our sponsor every week is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, on your laptop. Check their website out, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. They have a wonderful array of products and essential oils to increase your spirituality, your metaphysicality, your intellectual pursuits, your sense of smell and sensuality, all of it. So I hope that we're on the air right now. We're not having a technical problem with Blog Talk Radio, as we often do. I think sometimes our technology runs away from us and gets us out of control. Anyway, I am on the line right now, and I want you to be on the line. Our phone number for the show is 323-784-9639, 323-784-9639. Do feel free to call
Mommy?
In. Yes.
Mommy, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Well, I can, and you've been online, but I got cut off from, I called in.
Oh, so was I broadcasting, or was the line dead all that time?
No, you're broadcasting live. Everything's live, except I wasn't for a little while.
Oh.
I had a near-death radio experience.
Well, I introduced you, I think, better than I have over the last 2 years. It's ironic that I did a beautiful opening without any ums or stutters or blunders or stammers. And I realized when I introduced you and I didn't hear anything, I thought, oh, dear. Well, either Gwendolyn and or I are no longer on the air, and Blog Talk Radio is like, you know, asleep at the wheel with their Dunkin' Donuts. But I hope that everyone was hearing me. I want to remind everyone that our sponsors this week, as always, are daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. If you'd like to be one of our advertisers and sponsors, do contact either Gwendolyn or me through our Facebook pages or private messaging. Our rates are extremely reasonable, and we would enjoy having your support to keep us on the air week after week, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Again, our phone number for the show is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn,
mm-hmm.
Here we are at the end of September, and we are hurtling towards October. And it's interesting where I am right now. I am no longer in New York City, as many of my listeners know. I have moved for work for a while, I hope indefinitely, to the suburbs of Philadelphia. We are living an enchanting new adventure here, and I couldn't be happier. I was so afraid of leaving New York and what it would mean to me after all those decades of living there and those adventures. And I have transitioned into a suburban life that, I mean, how can you not be happy when you open your windows at the middle of the night or in the middle of the day and you hear nothing? nothing. We don't know if our windows are even open or not. Are the thermopanes sealed or are they open? The only way you know is if you feel a breeze suddenly, but it's dead silent. The only thing you hear at night are crickets, which is enchanting. And tonight we're expecting thunderstorms, which you know how Mummy lives for storms. So I can't wait to hear the sound of the rain outside. We are very happy here. I'm coming to you from Philadelphia, the suburbs, and Gwendolyn is coming from Port St. Lucie in Florida. It's fall. Gwendolyn is experiencing, as we talked about last week, Gwendolyn's experiencing fall as an increasing number of tourists and everything coming down there, not like it would normally be with, obviously, with COVID going on, but definitely the population is increasing. All of the snowbirds up here are leaving and fleeing down to the warmer weather down there, their homes or whatever they're going to do down there. So as the Northeast is emptying, even with Indian summer underway, with, you know, Provincetown, Fire Island, Cape Cod, all Maine, all of the northern resort areas are emptying and people who live there or work there are beginning to move to the south. Gwendolyn's version of October is that this is beginning to build and that hotels or whatever that are open, restaurants that are open, are going to have a somewhat increase in business, unlike the Northeast. Having said that, Gwendolyn, with your perspective being slightly different than ours, what's a fragrance we should be looking for on daughtersofisis.com that would be, I feel like as the Wicked Witch of the West, something pretty to the eye and soothing to the smell. Like something that is, but obviously doesn't kill Dorothy and Toto, but something that would, maybe not with poppies, but something that would be somehow welcoming and nurturing with us hurtling towards this election and every Mars in you know, in chaos right now and the planets all in, you know, conjunction and diatribes with each other. What can we, what would be a fragrance that would be good for us right now from your table and your laboratory?
Well, basically, a lightness of being is called for right now, I think. Some comfort, some clarity, a little a little embrace of the exotic, maybe. And so I'm going to, out of our supernatural collection, suggest a white light mister, which is a blend of African bluegrass with some jasmine.
I love jasmine. Okay, I'm sold. Keep going, yes.
Some liquid amber and geranium. I put geranium in there as a sort of a level between levels. You have that grass, that African bluegrass is a distinct and predominant scent here. Jasmine, of course, blends so well with it. It's like jasmine going through grass, African grass, you know. I mean, it's nice and just a little bit of that, you know, presence with amber that you always know it's there, but it doesn't overwhelm. And geranium puts the levels between together. It's like a lock-in.
Uh-huh.
So it's like...
When you, Gwendolyn, when you say amber, you mean ambergris, don't you?
No,
A-M-B-E-R-G-R-I-S, right?
No, I'm not talking about whale sputum. I am actually talking about Strax, which is an extract of a rarefied pine sap.
Oh, God. Well, that, thank you.
Amber.
So I've learned something new.
I always say ambergris when I mean it.
I see. I stand corrected.
But I tell you, that is... God, it's a knockout scent to work with, and it's very, very difficult to obtain. But the House of Chanel creates a fragrance of it, blending essential oils that mimic it, that comes so close that it's just, and it's so beautiful too. But
without harming
whales,
a whale, without harming whales.
Well, it's no, you know, we get it without any harm because it's sputum. They spew it up and it lands on the beach and that's where you get it in these big dookie balls that dry up into these incredible aromatic dreamland, you know, for your nose.
And it's very expensive,
really,
isn't it? It was considered very expensive. It's like truffles. It's like when you find it, it's a treasure to find, albeit creepy.
It is. And there are people from all the coasts of Europe and the northeastern, way northeastern, on into Nova Scotia, from Maine down even into Long Island, where they have walked the beach. They know what it looks like. A lot of people mistake it and never get it because it looks like sometimes a tar ball or, mm-hmm. you know, just one of those odd coral things that, you know, rocky that comes up. You have to really go and study the look of the different kinds, and or it can look like butterscotch amber, too.
But it's very valuable in the sense that, like, it, I think I read ages ago that it's like, it's like truffles. It's like $40 a pound or $100 a pound.
It sells by the gram. And then you have to just, but it's worth it. And it's not hard to do. Most perfumers can do it. Most blenders can do it. People who have a little bit of training and experience know how to get it into an oil. It's absolutely stunning. And it's one of those accent oils that really will bring a whole bouquet together.
When you get it, do you, I mean, have you ever had a piece of the solid ambergris that you've worked, or do you always work with the oil that you've gotten from a supplier?
I basically have a little silver, like, pill box, antique pill box, that has aloes wood and ambergris pieces in it.
Oh, my goodness.
I have the real thing, but they're from my nose. So that if I run out of the blend I work with, I can use them as guides to mimic their notes.
Oh, I see, yes. Wow. God, you're quite the little sorceress, aren't you? You're kind of like our own little Hermione Granger.
Oh, honey, Hermione's got stuff to learn, but she is.
My question is, are you a good witch or a bad witch? I'm not a witch at all. I love that when Dorothy says, I'm not a witch at all.
Oh, my God, yeah. I've been accused of being Glenda so many times, it's starting to hurt my reputation.
Well, you see how I used Glenda for the Civil Brunches Lollipop Guild. That one of the best costumes I ever had is my Glinda the Good Witch of the North costume, which was made by my great friend Geffel Tefish, who's a genius at creating costumes and designing and duplicating, and my dear friend John Fricke from who's often on Turner Classic Movies, is one of the world's greatest experts on Judy Garland and The Wizard of Oz. I mean, truly a museum expert on both Judy Garland, her entire career, and on The Wizard of Oz, loaned us 20 8x10s candid shots from the shooting, from the filming of Wizard of Oz. Of The Wizard of Oz. He has files of things that were taken and preserved of The Wizard of Oz as it was being produced. So he has photographs of Billy Burke being attended to by a costume person on the set with a boom mic overhead in that costume. So, I mean, it's shots of the film being made in situ, but you see like a technician wheeling a spotlight behind her, or, I mean, just unbelievable stuff. And we use those photographs, like over 20 of them, to duplicate that costume, the crown, the beautiful sleeves on the costume, all of it. The costume weighs like 40 pounds. And so we did that. And it's as close as you're going to get to an exact duplicate of the original dress. So many people think the dress is white. It actually isn't. It's a peachy pink. It's not just pink. It's got this peachy, pale, like wonderful blush to it. It's a beautiful piece, beautiful. And anyway, we got off on a tangent there. I want to remind people, our phone number is 323-784-9639. Do call in and talk to us. Gwendolyn, one thing I posted today on our ad was pictures of, I couldn't resist, of mannequins from the 1930s. Pierre Imond's mannequins were painstakingly made to look real. He was one of the foremost sculptors and mannequin makers in Paris during the 20s mm-hmm. and 30s. And his genius was that he made these unbelievable mannequins with glass eyes and, you know, teeth and everything, except that they are decoized. So they look like people who have simply been polished and made a little bit more geometric than an actual person would be. I can't even think of a real person. Someone with way too much plastic surgery would begin to look like these mannequins because they're so perfect. Their skin is so shiny, smooth, and their features are human, but decoized, like Art Deco, real human.
Yeah.
So it's just a strange thing. And I posted that because I think that as we, I did it with, you know, of course, me looking with the microphones askance at them. I feel like, and I think you agree with me, as we hurtle toward this election, we're not just seeing red voters dig in. We're seeing, especially with the Supreme Court situation going on, we're seeing people not just dig in, we're seeing them deny that the earth is round, or that it rotates around the sun, or that the sky is blue and not orange. There's something going on which I can only describe as invasion of the body snatchers. It seems like half the country is simply willfully denying reality or real things. Case in point, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and all of them digging in on the fact that here we are right before an election, and they are determined to ram this Supreme Court judge through when they, excuse my language, fucked Barack Obama over when he was nominating Garland. So
yeah,
he was not allowed to get his Supreme Court judge in, and I believe he had 200 days before the election. And here we are 30-some-odd days, 40 days before the election, and they are ramming this through. The same people that screwed Obama and Garland are saying that it's okay for them to do this. The cynicism, the hypocrisy has reached a Gibraltar-sized level. It is the size of Mount Rushmore. It is Gibraltar. It's gigantic in a way that is almost baffling.
It's also tottering. It's tottering. It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa going back and forth to that degree at this time, I think.
Yeah.
We have to keep it I actually voted today. I cast my ballot today.
I haven't gotten
sir.
My ballot yet, but I will. Yeah.
Well, you do have a call, Mommy.
Well, let's invite them in.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hi, Sybil. It's Richard Glazer.
Richard, how are you from California?
I'm good.
Richard is coming from the Sacramento area.
Right.
And I'm hoping that you're not having any fires there.
Oh,
right?
about 40 to 50 miles away. It's just this whole state's burning down.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Richard, I just don't know what to think.
There's nothing to know what to think. The world is falling apart, and the only thing that I can say, that my only salvation is that I'm playing music in my living room. That's what's keeping me sane.
Cole Porter, please. Cole Porter.
Oh, well, little So In Love from Kiss Me, Kate. Never hurt anybody.
I have to say that the news every year and almost around the entire year. When I was little, if there were fires in California, it was during the dry season. Now it's just a permanent dry season. It's dry in April. It's dry in Christmas time.
Well, I have
it
to
seems
tell you
like
I,
California, Oregon, and Washington
yeah.
are always losing a million acres to fires. And what is disturbing to me, because I used to be good at geography, I don't understand how there's a million acres left to burn.
I know.
It just
well,
seems like it doesn't grow back. It doesn't grow back fast. It takes forever. 10 minutes, you know, you wipe out a tree that's 300 years old in 10 minutes.
There's a lot of
it took 300 years for that tree to grow.
A lot of dry grass, a lot of very dry grass on the hills.
But the forests that are going, the woods, the, all of it is just so devastating to see.
Devastating, not to mention the ecosystem.
That's what I'm concerned about. The loss of life of humans, of course, is appalling and tragic. But no one seems to talk about the millions and millions
animals.
Of animals that die horribly. Australia was a catastrophe. Australia literally is – there are people, there are firemen who are used to seeing terrible things. I remember there were firemen this past year being interviewed who were shell-shocked the way people who had been downtown and saw – the World Trade Center disaster from a block away, who saw people falling to their deaths, and their eyes are never – their one eye is always cockeyed. They're so shell-shocked that they don't they're kooky. They're cracked. They're like cracked. People crack after experiences like that.
How much
PTSD
can a human being take?
I'm sorry?
How much can a human being take?
Exactly. And these firemen who've seen everything – there were people who said that there were firemen who literally are like on chemicals now because the loss of animals and the sound of animals and the sight of animals was too horrible for them to take in, and they can't. They're broken people now. They're broken. I would be I don't know. If I was exposed to that and in that number amount, I think I would probably kill myself because it would be too hideous to see. You know, you'd be so I just – and you're only 40 miles away from these fires?
Yeah, very close. We're less than an hour drive.
Are you upwind from them or downwind?
Well, the jury's out on that.
Well, you're
I'm
in our
sure.
prayers and our best wishes and warmest wishes.
Well, see,
you
we live
Jan.
In a valley. We don't live in a – have a – We live in the valley where there's not like a lot of trees and stuff. It just it's flat. So
yeah,
but we did
I'll
have
tell
a
you
fire
one thing
here
that
last
I'm
week.
Getting. Well, I'm getting just. I'll tell you something. This is and Gwendolyn gets scared when I get this way. She gets scared when Mummy starts to go on a rampage. But the fires that have been caused by arsonists. I'm sorry that they were raised poorly or that they were abused, but arson is an unforgivable crime. Crimes
I
against
agree.
Children, animals, arson, people who burn buildings down to get insurance and then the fire gets out of control and kills someone. Now,
there was a movie made about that with Jack Lemmon called Save the Tiger.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you remember that
and
movie?
Backdraft was about that.
Down.
The movie Backdraft had those elements in it too. The other thing that is annoying me and just is making me furious as much as arson are these gender reveal parties where these idiots.
Yeah, what is that? What is
yuppie,
that, Sybil? What is that?
It's where people who host their own podcasts, like Mummy, go on vacation and have the get gender reassignments and then come back as a different person. So I would come back as Simon Brunchen, and then I reveal it by setting off fireworks in my backyard. or as I was introduced at a Mason's party, Simple Luncheon. Ladies and gentlemen, our host tonight is Simple Luncheon. And,
so that's what a gender reveal party is then? It's not
and
like
I
about
set
like
off
a...
fireworks. When I was introduced that way, I was so angry, I threw a votive candle at some crepe paper things of the demolay or whatever it was.
So it's not,
I was
it has
very
nothing
angry.
To do with, so these gender reveal parties have nothing to do with like babies revealing the sex of a baby.
That's
that they
exactly
don't know
what it is. They're revealing the sex of the baby, and what they do is they set off like Roman candles that are blue instead of pink, and they set fire to wood, which, by the way,
so
have
retarded.
Been announced. Yeah, have been announced as being dry. So you have people saying, now, folks, we just want you to know that the Ferguson Valley is going through a very serious drought, so let's be careful, and we're not going to be barbecuing. And these idiot, yuppies go out and set off Roman candles at a barbecue and then set fire and then drive away. It's like, no, let's not underfund the police.
Go find the people,
turn them around, and throw them into the fire themselves. It's like
it's just like you said earlier. I mean, there are people – they think the world is flat, not round, and you can't change their mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
You were saying that, and there's no appeal. There is no appeal.
No. There's no explanation, and what they do is fire them. There's no climate change. That's a lie.
No.
That's a conspiracy. And
yeah.
the fires were not started by gender revealing things or by Brewski boys setting off, you know, shooting animals or whatever.
Boys.
No, it's all conspiracies. This is all the liberal left trying to ruin our fun and our Constitution. George Washington said, I was allowed to shoot 5,000 animals with a bazooka. It's like, oh, my God, this whole entitlement that we are going through. That was the subject of the show tonight, Richard, was people sleeping with pods? Are people drinking the Kool-Aid and becoming strange non-humans anymore?
Well,
I think the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers is so appropriate right now because it's terrifying.
Was that Kevin McCarthy?
Yes. And Dana Winter, yes.
And interestingly enough, there was the hero in that movie was black.
You're thinking of Night of the Living Dead.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking of. But that was really forward. That was very forward thinking at that time, though.
Well, wait a minute, Richard. I've been joking about that on my page. I've been writing Halloween poetry and stuff and posting things. No, Night of the Living Dead is a political. It's another thing. It's a zombification
of society. Yeah, and people have drunk the Kool-Aid. And see, what happens is people what this attitude personifies is people are afraid to be free thinkers, and that's what makes this country great, is that we can be free thinkers and we can express our ideas and we can disagree and we can discuss things and we don't have to think like the next person does and we can use our minds. That's what's one of the great things about this country, and that's all being just like flushed down the toilet bowl.
Well, it is, except that what's interesting is that those people that we're talking about are claiming that we are not the free thinkers, that they are, and that we are the oppressors, that to have federal laws about racism, for instance, or gender equality or sexual orientation, that is oppression, and that they are the free thinkers. This is the whole excuse that the NRA is using, that they're allowed to go out with an automatic weapon that would be state of the art for the Pentagon. So they think that having a gun that the Pentagon would be glad to own, and going to a Wisconsin forest and shooting up the trees and literally mowing life down, not really hunting, just killing everything for fun, is their right, because they're free thinkers. And people thinking that people legislating against that are oppressors. It literally is out of 1984, which is where Big Brother reverses
well, you know what
black
the
and white. Do you remember?
Do you know what the night of 1984 says? It's don't believe what you see, believe what you hear.
Right. I remember that Big Brother freedom is slavery. I remember that one of the things that Orwell was saying in there was that the newspeak, newspeak, the new language, was that, you know, there would be things that would be strange, like freedom is slavery, and that it was this juxtaposition of language and use as a propagandist tool where you would literally dull the mind. You would literally crush people's will and individuality by sloganeering. And it's just, anyway, I just find the irony of the right wing making it out that they're allowed to do all of these things as an expression of their freedom.
I was saying to Jan today, I don't think people like that, do they have beauty in their soul or romance or love or passion in their soul?
Well, Richard, that's why I've been saying, that's why all the things I posted today, the visuals I posted, were those strange mannequins by Pierre Ions. They look like humans. They're like the people in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, all three versions of it. There was the one in the 50s, then there was the one with Donald Sutherland. And one of the things that the actors have been told, each version of this, is that once they have slept with the pods, once they have drunk the Kool-Aid,
right,
the the one like Dana Winter. Oh my God, that wonderful scene when Dana Winter is still in the cave in the mine, and Kevin McCarthy has run out to see what's going on. He runs back, he runs up to her, and he says the crowd has gone away. We can slip out of here, brother. And suddenly he's talking to her, and she's looking strange. And then the music does the dun 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 dun, and he looks at her, and the camera does the thing, and her eyes have gone flat. They're dead and strange. And she was directed. She wasn't a great actress, but she was great enough to do this.
Right.
She had gone flat. In the 20 minutes he was gone, the pod had taken over her and she had been replaced. And that's what I'm wondering. These people, you look at these people. Look at Donald Trump's eyes.
Oh,
his eyes
they
are
look
the
like
eyes
a
pig. They're dead eyes. One of my favorite line deliveries of all time is Robert Shaw in Jaws, when they're all in the boat together at late at night.
You're going to have to get a bigger boat.
But the quote that he says is, have you ever seen a shark up close? And he says, when they bite into you, their eyes roll back. They have dead eyes. Their eyes are dead, like a doll's eyes.
Do you know,
delivery that he says is so spooky, because he says, they're dead eyes. They're like a doll's eyes. They're flat and strange. They're supposed to look real, but they're dead. And that's what Donald Trump's eyes. Mitch McConnell has a dead face to me.
Yeah, it's awful.
Lindsey Graham
has
a hunted face to me.
Do you know that Robert Shaw wrote Man in the Glass Booth? Do you know that play? He wrote that same Robert Shaw was a great playwright.
No, it's not the same person.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is the same Robert Shaw.
Really?
It's about the Eichmann trial, the man in the glass booth. It's about the Eichmann trial.
Right. I've seen that on Turner Classic.
Robert Shaw from Jaws wrote that.
Right. Wow. Yes. I know that.
Wow.
You can fact check me, but I'm pretty sure.
He was
really
a pretty gifted guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
Are you sure that he wrote that?
I wouldn't stake my life on it, but I'm pretty sure. Was it the same person? So I'm right, yeah. I'm the fact checker. The fact checker wife just checked it out. But anyway.
Robert Shaw.
The one thing, all this ugliness.
Look at that. He was born in Ireland.
Yeah.
He was born in England. He died in Ireland. But he is considered to be. Oh my goodness!
So I taught you something
that amazing.
Today. I taught you something today, Mummy.
I learn every week, and I'm thrilled that you taught me that. Look at that writing. His first novel was The Hiding Place. Oh God, look at this! Look at this! Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I know.
The Man in the Glass. His was a success in 1967.
And the thing
amazing.
Is, when you don't have appreciation for the arts and beauty and art and music and literature, when you don't have appreciation for that, these are essential parts of what make a civilization.
Right.
And when you don't have that, it's a tremendous loss. It makes your life becomes very dull and very, I mean, it's just, we're in it. And that's why, I've been playing in my living room a lot and just playing and playing in my living room and taping myself and putting it out there and putting it out there. And it's been a salvation for me, Mummy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's an escape. We need to escape this. I mean, we need to escape this. We have to. Otherwise, we won't be able to, we can't cope. I mean, the news, we look to a leader to comfort a nation and to help a nation and to help us along and support us. And all we get is just, I mean, you want to cry. You want to cry when you talk about things. You want to cry. So,
I agree. I know exactly what you mean. Yep.
So.
You are absolutely right. I'm thrilled to learn that Robert Shaw wrote that. He died. Did you know that he died at 51? He was only 51 years old, and he had a heart attack on a roadside he was driving.
I remember reading it when he passed,
He had 10 children. Isn't that amazing?
Well, hopefully he won't be. Yeah, maybe he's one of his descendants is going to be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Are you? Wait a minute. She's related to Robert Shaw.
I'm joking. Oh. Just the whole thing with all the children.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's exactly. You know, it's funny. I'm glad to know that he, as a wonderful actor, also was a writer. Do you know one of my favorite situations of an actor and writer is Jason Miller, who wrote that championship season, which I adore that play. And Jason Miller, of course, plays Father Mulcahy or whatever his name is in The Exorcist. Oh. The one who's thrown down the stairs, Father Karras or whatever. He's the young, handsome priest in The Exorcist. And he acted in a number of things, but he wrote the championship season. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And his son is for those of us who think men are gorgeous, Jason Patrick, the actor who was in The Lost Boys. Jason Patrick didn't have an enormous career, but he was he's a wonderful actor and beautiful. And what's also interesting is that Jason Patrick, right? Okay, say Jason Miller is his father. Jason Patrick's grandfather is Jackie Gleason. It's
really?
So interesting. Yeah. Oh,
now, there,
God,
there,
it's
now
so
that, there was a classy guy. That was a classy guy.
No, you're big. Well, he wasn't classy.
Have you seen that YouTube post with Jackie Gleason what's her name? Meadows, Audrey Meadows. So they're at the table with the Honeymooners. And they're at the table, you know, it's black, you know, and then they somehow digitally put Donald Trump at the table with them. And he's talking, you know. And he's talking, and I'm going to do this, and I did this, and I made this, and I did this, and it's like, and you look at the, and it's 8:00, and he keeps talking, and then the next thing you know, like 2 seconds later, it's like midnight, and he's still talking, his mouth's still going, and so Jackie Gleason looks over and he says, "You are a blabbermouth."
Blabbermouth.
It was so clever. Those when people do those, it's very clever.
I know.
Jackie Gleason, though, I got to say, Jackie, when I was a little girl, he was around a couple of times. My mother built a special golf car by Harley Davidson for him. And he was a real gent, and he was fun. He was fun to pay attention to kids.
And a brilliant talent, my God. First of all, he's a major musician.
It was a
He played the string bass in Orchestra Wives with one of the two movies that Glenn Miller made for 20th Century Fox in 1943, the other one being Sun Valley Serenade.
Wow.
But
he
did Orchestra Wives. And Cesar Romero's an
instrument.
Yeah, but Cesar Romero and Jackie Gleason are playing in the band with Tex Beneke.
Wow, I love Tex Beneke. Oh, my God. I love Paul Whiteman, too. Oh, my God, love that period of music.
Did you ever see King of Jazz? Did you see the King of Jazz?
No.
Paul Whiteman, it was from 1930. It's a two-strip
Technicolor. Yes.
And they just restored it to all its digital glory. It's all about Paul Whiteman and the Palais Royal Orchestra with little vignettes. There's Bing Crosby singing in it. It's unbelievable. It's on DVD, and it's a sight to behold. I've never seen when two-strip Technicolor is done correctly, it's glorious.
Yes, it's very beautiful in a strange kind of odd way, but it's beautiful. What are you and Jan doing as we near the election? Are you doing lots of cooking at home and hobbies and crafts
playing music
to try and drown your sorrows?
That's right. And making I'm making a lot of shows for FaceTime and interviewing people and playing and
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that.
I've been really enjoying that, and it's a salvation. You know, it's a salvation for me, and I'm doing a lot of benefits for arts organizations around the country virtually, and I'm not charging anybody a penny. I'm doing it all free. So.
Oh, that's amazing. Uh-huh.
Because people, they need the help. People, these organizations need to raise money, and if I can help them that way, I'm more than happy to do it.
You know, we were talking, apropos of that, we were talking last week at the very last minute, Gwendolyn and I, about the fact that on the CBS morning show on Sundays, I love that
Sunday
morning show. I'm not crazy about the cast, but I love the stories.
Like Mo Rocca? He's a little obnoxious.
Maraca.
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, to be on the show at all is to have a speech impediment. If you, David Edelson has the worst list. Maraca is a mouthful of oatmeal. Lee Cowan. Jane Pauley has always been a toothache that is incurable.
Yeah, she's had that her whole life.
I don't even know what she does on the show. She actually interviewed, who was it this week? Mariah Carey. But for the most part, she's the so-called anchor who opens the show and closes the show and maybe introduces one of the stories. But if you watch that show, each of those people is as weird and as vocally, they have vocal problems, I guess it's to make them more accessible to middle America or something, but they're all freaks. They're all freaks. However,
what about
the stories are magnificent.
Do you like Jim Gaffigan?
Oh my God. A nightmare, but he's meant to be a nightmare. His brand of humor.
He lost his mind on Twitter about 3 weeks ago over Trump. He started dropping the F-bomb on him on Twitter, like going nuts for an hour. He just like exploded. He went nuclear.
Yeah. Well, he's meant to be a curmudgeon-y creature.
Right. Exactly.
He's like Andy Rooney was. You were meant to be annoyed by Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney's voice and delivery was meant to get your goat, and that was the source of humor.
I like Andy Rooney's eyebrows.
And then he had a gender reassignment. He was turned into Frida Kahlo, which most people don't realize that.
The unibrow, right?
Yes, a giant caterpillar crawling across his forehead.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm sick and tired of these monobrows. Cro-Magnon man.
Yes. Back to that Sunday morning show.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why did I bring it up? We got off on such a tangent.
Mariah Carey, you said.
Yeah, but it was about the election. Oh, well, it's not important. Anyway, right now, I know what it was. Gwendolyn and I talked about this. They mentioned it on that show, horrifying, that at least a third of the museums in this country are predicted to go under.
To go bankrupt,
completely.
Yeah. It's just meant
and
to make
what
me,
is ironic.
It's making me want to roll up in
what
a ball.
What is ironic
and go in
about
a corner.
This? What is appalling? Is that the 1% now will be buying art, masterpieces, all the art you can imagine from Renaissance, from Egyptian antiquity, from Jackson Pollock.
Don't make me upset.
They're going to be buying this at firehouse sales, which
is
interesting.
Because
J.P. Morgan and the Astors and the Vanderbilts are the ones that built those museums and acquired that art for them. So the 1%, so-called, in 1890 was building and sharing. Their way of getting their dicks hard was making millions of dollars and building public institutions which were their trip. That was their sexual turn on. They built hospitals and museums. They built things
to
make society and cities magnificent. And what we have now is the 1% have become truly robber barons. They make money and then
they don't give back
society. This is why the 1% belong in bonfires. They should be thrown alive with their children into bonfires.
I don't mean to sound racist, but the virus did come out of China, and they ate. We think it came from a pangolin. It was transmitted from a bat to a pangolin to a human, because the Chinese eat. Have you ever seen a picture of a pangolin?
Of course,
cute little man eaters. They're cute little babies.
Oh yeah, and endangered
but
and rare and strange.
Yeah, but they're considered sacred, and they pay tons of money for them, and they eat them, and they have them as pets. And they do that. They do that because they think it'll get their dick hard, like you say.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, the Chinese were. I was finished with them with the whole Iams pet food scandal. When it turned out that they were poisoning
our
dogs and cats.
They were killing our babies.
Yeah.
Their kidneys were going bad.
Plastic and chemicals in our pet food.
I remember that. I remember there was at Walmart. Walmart was having problems with it.
Yeah. But
the
back
evil
to this
empire.
Whole thing of like this whole thing of museums going under.
This is, I didn't know about
third
this. It's very depressing. You've made me even more depressed today. Thank you, Mummy.
Well, no. What I've been saying for the last 2 years when we've been doing this show, and Gwendolyn agrees, is that we have all these Facebook friends who say, I'm so depressed. I'm depressed. I'm sad. And they post that and everything. I say, first of all, everyone should post on their Facebook page, and I encourage them with the Mummy's Lollipop Guild. Post
all
a recipe
stuff,
that your grandmother had. Post a picture of a kitty. Go out and buy $10 worth of flowers at the grocery store. Arrange them. Put them on your desk. Take a picture of it and say, look what I did. Look what I made.
Right.
What's the Bible adage is, it's better to light one little candle than to curse the darkness. Yeah, you're not solving the world. You're not solving everything. You didn't create the sun, but light a candle rather than curse the darkness.
Absolutely.
Do something that is outward, expansive. Throw your arms open and in the daylight and say, I embrace the world and I welcome the world and I am open to the world. That's the first thing. Secondly, if you are depressed, if you are vanquished, don't get sad, as Sybil Brunson says. Get mad. Turn that sadness outward. Get mad. Do what Franklin Roosevelt said. Be a happy warrior. Be Al Smith. Be a happy warrior.
Get into good trouble.
Yes. Go out and be a problem for your enemy. Be an adversary. Crush things that are hurting animals and children. Be angry at gender reveal parties and arsonists. Vote properly. Spend your dollar properly. Congratulate a friend who's making music and doing things
Absolutely.
For free and who's doing this like you are. Richard, you deserve
that's
congratulations.
That's
you deserve virtual hugs.
That's my contribution.
Yes.
Is to
that's what Gwendolyn and I are doing.
I will not take a penny from any art organization. I refuse.
Well, Gwendolyn
no,
and I, by doing this podcast every week. Look at Gwendolyn. She works at her bench all day making incredible fragrances, and God
wow.
knows, probably drinking and snorting them. We don't know what she's doing inside sometimes. And then she comes out with these wonderful products, some
wow.
of which are not allowed to be put into the hands of children or impressionable young persons. And
yeah.
then we spend the money on this program, and we try to get people galvanized, registered.
Yeah.
Vote. Be angry.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if you can't shake the hand of a stranger, bump elbows with them. And through your mask, let them see your eyes twinkling. See, we can't see each other smile anymore, but there's nothing more lovely than a pair of eyes smiling over
amen.
Its mask.
Amen.
And
amen.
And today I had to go to the post office, and I thanked my postal workers behind the counter.
Those
here
poor
in
postal,
Pennsylvania,
those poor
and I, when
workers.
I was finished with my thing, I said, by the way, and I named them. They had their names on there. One of them was named Jolly. I said, Miss Jolly, I just want to thank you for your service. And she said, aren't you sweet? You do that every time you come in. I said, yes, and you should be thanked. Not
yeah.
only you should be thanked every time I come in, you should be thanked hourly. But before I left New York, every time I went to the subways, I thanked them. I said, by the way, I just want to thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Even when I was using my Easy Pass, I didn't need to go up to the window and talk to that person. I would go up to the window, and they would think I was asking a question or something, and I would say, I want to thank you for your service. And some of them burst into tears.
I think the Trump base gets vicarious thrills through his bullying and his nastiness because
they
can't be that way in their own life, and they enjoy that, and they enjoy seeing that. And they get
right.
and they get vicarious pleasure from it. That's
yeah.
my opinion,
well,
but I could be wrong. But
to me,
this was started. This was a virus that was started. The seeds of this cancer were planted long ago,
and
certainly
sure.
were obvious with George Bush when people were asked by CNN who would they rather have a beer with, Al Gore or George Bush. And all of those yokels, those three-toothed hillbillies, would say things like, "I drink with Al Gore. He a communist fag from those Ivy League know-it-all schools. I would have a drink with George Bush. He's a regular guy."
W couldn't hold a candle to this guy in the White House. Now he can't even come near him.
Exactly. And what they weren't realizing was that
W's a saint compared to this guy.
I know. It's
right.
True.
What they weren't realizing back then was that George Bush may have talked like a Texan cowboy. He may have talked like some roadie, brewski guy, you know, in
right.
some turnpike, you know, neon flickering
right.
junk bar. But he was Connecticut, and he, his brother, his mother, the biggest Connecticut snob of all time. These people are Kennebunkport. These people are Maine. His grandfather,
right.
Prescott Bush, was as lockjawed as you could get. They may have birthed George Idiot Bush in Texas, so he talked like Plainview, but he wouldn't have had a drink
right.
with those shitholes for $1 million.
But
he
I
may have talked like that,
more,
but he was not
he was,
going to do that.
He was... He never bickered with the press. Do you ever hear him bicker with the press?
Yeah. No, he sidestepped it. It was like, you know, exit.
No,
stage
he just never
left.
Got nasty. He didn't threaten. He didn't get nasty with them.
No,
no.
It's just so demoralizing to hear that. Hear that. It's like a 14. It's like a 14-year-old kid that used to pick on me on the playground.
When Obama, yeah. when Obama became was inaugurated. And he walked down Pennsylvania Avenue and everything. I sat there. I was at work with other people watching on television. People were staring just in thunderstruck at what that symbolized.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I thought that when George Bush left, as graciously as he and Laura Bush left the White House and transferred the whole thing over, I
yes.
thought to myself, I breathed a sigh of relief, and I thought, well, that's the end of the worst presidency and the
no,
worst political event I will ever see in my lifetime.
Not even close.
And by the way, a week after Trump was inaugurated, that was infinitely worse than the day he was inaugurated. He has been a headline catastrophe. Every week has been a news cycle which has dwarfed the week before. It doesn't seem that he could be.
And I think Rupert Murdoch ought to be arrested for treason.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
and his wife should be killed. His children should be killed. They all should be killed.
But Rupert Murdoch owning that Fox News. That Fox News is doing very bad things.
Well, they shut him down. They shut them down in Australia, New Zealand, and England. And only if they came to terms with the government, with the content
well,
of their
Fauci,
shows.
Well, Dr. Fauci came out today to say he cited Fox News today, and he cited that horrible, horrible creature from Dick Tracy, that doctor that stands next to Trump. He looks like a villain from Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
And he cited
Wait a minute.
Today.
This is, yes, it's, what's his name? It, you're
Dr.
not talking
Atlas,
about
Scott
the,
Atlas.
You're not talking about the coconut brassiere. You know, voodoo doctor from 3 weeks ago that was
no.
like,
no, no,
no.
This,
she
this
said
is a man from Stan-
alien
man
sperm.
From Stanford.
And,
no, he's standing
yeah.
next to him on the podium.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Stanford, and he's a radiologist who knows nothing about epidemiology or anything. And he's,
shocking.
And he comes and he's making judgments and making calls, and he's shutting out the task force. And Fauci today said it's getting very dangerous, and he doesn't agree with it. And he cited Fox News for giving misinformation.
Right.
He cited this doctor for giving misinformation. And I think we're going to pay a very deep price here in the next month or so when this virus rears its ugly head.
Oh, again, yeah.
In the surges.
Yeah, but the problem, Richard, Gwendolyn and I are always shocked. Gwendolyn and I have talked about this. Why is Mitch McConnell, why is Lindsey Graham, why did that idiot, Rand Paul, He was fully infected, walked through the Senate, but nobody got it. I mean, clearly there is a Satan, and clearly Satan has bought their souls. It's like, how could that not have happened?
He feels that, Ron Paul feels that you should be able to do whatever you want to do.
That's right, I know.
Just do what you want.
Look at poor Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn is stranded in Florida. Governor DeSantis,
oh,
the man
moron?
Who's been begging
he's
to be used as a pinata by the Hispanic community.
He's going
to
kill people.
Latinos in Florida, I'm begging you. I have a huge listening following
for,
there. I want you
they're
to get your. I want
the
you to get
of
your governor.
In Miami, you're voting for Trump.
No, that's not. That's a little skewed information. You know, basically, it's the elder Cubans.
They're afraid, but
the younger generation, Gen X Cubans in the Latino and Cuban community in Miami, the Gen X down, they put Obama in office.
What do you think about Bloomberg giving Florida $100 million? Do you think it's going to help?
I don't know.
Actually,
you say
DeSantis is trying to stop it, but the fines got paid. Well, now Trump has decided to tell older folks, and a lot of them are in the state of Florida or Arizona or Southern California, tell older folks, retired, that he's going to send them $200.
Yeah, I know that. I heard that.
You know, your vote is worth $200.
He's a very subtle individual. But it reminds me, I have a question. I have a question I want to ask Gwendolyn. Of course, we all know and love the Villages. I'm being sarcastic, of course. You know about the Villages, right?
I know a little
That huge retirement community in Florida in the middle of nowhere by Tallahassee?
Yes,
the guy that said White Tower on his golf cart. So anyway, I heard about that place. They have the largest percentage of venereal disease among seniors in the country there in the Villages.
Remember
the ice? Was it the Iceman? Where they had those swing parties with the keys? Remember that movie?
Yeah.
You know, the couples come in and they throw keys in and they pick a key to go home with that woman. These senior citizens play that game there at the Villages.
What they do is they use their different colored shower scrubbies. They put them on their golf carts. And it signifies whether they're swingers.
Whether or not, yeah. That's beautiful.
No, it's true.
It is true. I know.
From good information source.
So, I'll have to remember that when I'm down there in my golf cart.
You gotta be kidding me. they've got the highest, and do you know what they've got? What we all worked so hard to not let happen, and they're spreading it, and it's HIV.
Yeah.
They got HIV going on.
I'm baffled by, truly, I'm just baffled by the willful mendacity in every corner of the country right now.
There's no compassion. Where's the compassion for their fellow humans? Where's the compassion for fellow humans? I mean, you hear these crazy people talking about the mask. You tell me my rights, and you're not going to tell me to wear a mask. Well, what about their fellow Americans? They never say a word about trying to take care of or protect their fellow Americans. There's never a word mentioned about that.
Well, they're not wearing masks. But see, I don't even expect that of them. They're too stupid to preserve themselves. You see, the whole thing about the mask thing is they're walking back into their own homes.
It's a whole lot of bullshit.
They've got their own babies. Perfect. They've got their own grandparents. It's like, but the problem with COVID is that it is not thorough enough. COVID would indeed kill the Senate. That's what we needed to do. Mitch McConnell is elderly. He is useless, and he should have been dead hideously 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and
he's horrible.
He has walked through that minefield, and he strolled through the minefield of COVID. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm looking at the time, and we have got to stop.
Right.
Richard, thank you so much for calling in.
It was at least we got some stuff off our chest. Blew off the theme.
Yes. But anyway, thank you. Give Jan our love.
Are you going to watch the debates tomorrow?
That was something I wanted to talk about, but we don't have time. We're literally signing off.
Will you write about it though after you watch it, so we can get your impressions?
we'll discuss the debates next Monday at 8 o'clock, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone, folks. Thank you for tuning in tonight, Richard. I love you, Jan. I love you too.
Lots of love,
Gwendolyn. Thank you so much.
Gwendolyn.
I want to remind everyone. Our show is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Folks, please tune in next Monday and hear more of our diatribes. We love you all. Gwendolyn, I love you a ton. See you next week.
Good night.